Well, good morning, everybody. It's a joy to be back. I was excited to come here this morning as I drove past the church to go get some gas, and then came back and walked in the building. It was really a joy. I've missed you guys over the last month or so that I've been at home. I was excited to see my family, and I got to do a lot of cool things over break, and I got to preach at a couple of different churches, which was really fun. But they say there's no place like home, and I think I really get that when I come back here on a Sunday morning and I walk in and get to talk to everybody. I got to spend the last couple of days with Wayne and Debbie, and that was really a treat. We got to go to some basketball, got to go to a basketball game yesterday and watch some football. And man, I'm just really excited to be back here. But with that comes the thing I'm not so excited about, which is that I have to go to class at 8 a.m. tomorrow. If we're being honest, that's not something I'm really excited about. I've enjoyed the little month off of break, month off of school. But if you remember, before I left, we were kind of working our way into this series about trusting God. And we kind of had two sermons, and the first one was just why can we trust God, kind of setting up the series. And then the second one was looking at how do we trust God in the storms and the trials and the tough times that we face. And, you know, we came to the conclusion that we can trust God because He's our provider and He knows what we need. And He only has our best intentions in mind. And this week, I want to kind of pick up back into this series, kind of go back in time. So go back a month, and we're going to continue on this morning. But I want to shift the focus a little bit, and we're going to look at why we can trust God, or what it means to trust God in our relationships. Now, to begin this morning, I think it's important that we set the parameters of what a relationship is. Because oftentimes, I think we get this word a little misconstrued. We only see it as something we get into with another person of the opposite sex, or by the world's definition, the same sex. Or but I think, like, as we dive into the text this morning, we'll see that there's much more to a relationship than just that. It's more than a bride and a groom at a wedding ceremony. It's more than a couple on their celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. It's more than those things. See, in my mind, a relationship can be defined as any time you come into contact with another person or an animal or a plant or anything God has created on a repeated basis. Now, this means that the Walmart greeter that you come into contact with every Friday night when you go to get your groceries and you say hello to them or talk to them for a brief second, that's a relationship. Or the pet that you're going to go home and possibly see tonight, the dog, the cat that you're going to feed, maybe it's some farm animals you're going to go and take care of tonight, that too is a relationship. The person maybe that you're meeting with on a weekly basis to disciple or just to have coffee with, that too is a relationship. See, as we begin to understand what a relationship is, things begin to change. And I think the best place to begin this sermon is with the Word of God. I think that's anytime you're studying or anytime you're trying to understand things, I think that's the best place to begin. And so, to kind of start out this morning, I just want to look at the significance of relationships throughout Scripture. And we're going to start in Genesis. And I want you to know that if you're trying to figure out what the Bible says about relationships, It's pretty easy to find it. You only have to read through a chapter. Genesis chapter 2 gives us a pretty clear understanding of what God thinks about relationships. Now, I know most of you have been reading the Bible longer than I have been alive, and so your mind is probably already in Genesis 2:18. That's going to be the first text we look at this morning. And it simply says, "The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him help, make a helper suitable for him." Now notice, like, if your mind went there, that's okay, but it was kind of what I started with this morning. We often see relationships as one between a man and a woman. And so this idea that we see this as the first thing when we're reading through the text, as the God's idea of relationship, that makes sense to see it that way. But if we solely focus on this portion of the text, we miss the whole first part. Notice, just a couple verses before, God puts Adam into relationship with his creation. Don't believe me? Look at the scripture just a few verses prior. Look at what it says in verse 15. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and take care of it." See, before Adam would ever be ready to be in relationship with Eve, he was put into relationship with the creations of God as a caretaker. In order for him to be ready to serve his eventual partner, he had to be had to learn how to take care of something smaller. We often practice this in our own lives. Maybe we don't realize it, but I can assure you we do. When we get our, well, you guys get your kids, I don't have any, but when you get your kids a puppy or a kitten, hoping to teach them responsibilities and how to care for something. I remember when I was in middle school, we were going to a baseball game, and one of my friend's parents had called them and said that they had some kittens in the barn, and I just thought that was the most neat thing. So we went, and Dad said no, and Mom said yes, and lo and behold, we brought home two instead of just one. And I've had that cat. It unfortunately passed away over the summer this last year, but we had that cat for 18 years, and that cat taught me a lot of things. Taught me responsibility and to feed and water, and it taught me how to remain calm when it did something dumb and I wanted to be angry with it. And it taught me how to love, and it taught me how to care for it as a caretaker. See, the cat wouldn't have survived without someone to feed and water it as a house cat. It had been domesticated to a point where it was reliant on someone else to feed and water it. But yet the cat provided something for me as well. It provided love and companionship and affection. Notice how the cat wasn't a parasite or a virus, something that just leeches off of other people but doesn't provide anything in return. See, I think that relationship I had with my cat is much like my first relationship with God. He blesses me with food, the word, with water, to fill my thirst, and people to care for, and people to care for me. I mean, he knows every hair on our head. The Bible even says that he counted them. But the question is worth asking here is, why aren't we doing this in our own relationships? Why aren't we caring for those who care for us? Now, you guys might find this appalling, and I was really kind of blown away, but the Pew Research Center is a marvelous resource. They do a lot of research all across the country, And one of the recent studies that came out this last year was the divorce rate in the Christian church in America is at nearly 51%. Let that sink in. 51% of all marriages in the church are going to fail. Can I tell you a secret? That means that half of the people in our churches across the globe don't even have God at the center of their relationships. Maybe God was there at some point, but the craziness and business of life and children and things that pulled them away, God got lost somewhere. When we fail to put God at the center of our relationships, they're bound to fail. I mean, this is what the world does. We know this to be true. The need to care for another person becomes less about the desire to do it because you love them and more about selfishness and what can I get out of caring for that person. See, I think if you're doing something for someone and your thought is, what will I get out of it, rather than how can I serve you, I'd encourage you to reevaluate that relationship. Take time to look and see why that is. And maybe it's a relationship you didn't even need to be in the first place. Sometimes God reveals that to us, and it's difficult to see that, but man, I just encourage you to look at that. See, I think if we predicate our relationships on just what another person can do for us, then when that person can no longer provide, we just throw them to the wayside. We throw that relationship away. We see this all the time in the church. People that were on fire for Jesus when Jesus brought them out of a dark place, and they're no longer in that dark place, and they somehow decide that they no longer need Jesus, and they throw the church aside. Just remember that we're a broken people in a broken world attempting to follow a God that promises us restoration one day. So how do we put God in the center of our relationships? If we can determine that God needs to be the center of our relationships so we can trust Him in that, how do we put God in the center of our relationships? And the first thing is, it starts with love. Now that may sound cliche. You probably have seen that all over Hallmark cards, on TV. The world loves to promote this idea of love. But I think the first area that starts with love is you have to be able to love yourself for who God created you to be. My friend Dr. Shane Wood says this: it's really hard to invite the Spirit in when you keep burning down the house. You can't invite the Spirit to dwell in you if you're constantly destroying the temple that the Spirit's trying to go into. Meaning, if your life is filled with hate and destruction, there's no place for God to dwell. The Spirit's coming, God's coming to knock on the door and try to enter the house, but it's gone, it's destroyed. How can you possibly ever expect to have a healthy relationship with another person if you can't even be in a healthy relationship with yourself, with the love that God has for you? If you can't be in relationship with that, you can't be in relationship with God truly, then you can't possibly be in a good relationship with another person. Just look at John 15:9 if you want this illustrated really well for you. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If Jesus loved you so much, if God loved you so much that He was willing to send Jesus to die for us, for you, for me, how can you possibly look at yourself with hatred? How can you possibly look at yourself not in the way God created you, but the way the enemy looks at God? Once you can love yourself, then I think you can begin to love others. John is building on this idea throughout chapter 15, and it couldn't be made any more clear than in verse 15:12. This verse says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." See, loving others, being in a healthy relationship with God at the center, at its core, is just projecting the love of Christ into a broken world. It shouldn't come as a result of someone deserving to be loved, because Christ gave us His love without us deserving it. We had no business being saved, if we're honest. We messed up over and over again, and yet, like, just to kind of go back to this Shane Wood illustration, God built the house and we sat there with a box of matches and over again burnt the house down. And that should have been the end of the story. That should have been where God said, "You know what? I don't need a relationship with you." But because He loved us, He sent His Son to keep building the house over and over again. Even as we continued to burn it down, there it was, a little bit stronger each time. So this morning, I asked the question, are you loving right? Maybe you're in a place where you're burning the house down every single day. And I'm here to tell you, our God has a promise for that. Or maybe you've put the matches away, but you're in a place where things like fear or pride prevent you from loving those people in your life. I'm here to tell you, our God has a promise for that. Or maybe you don't even know who God is, and you're wondering about the love that we're talking about this morning, and our God has a promise for that. The promise is this, that all who believe in the Son will receive the gift of love, the gift of eternal life, the gift with no return receipt. So as we go out this week, meditate on what this means to love who God has made you to be, to love others in the way that God loves you, because our God is a God of love, and to honor Him in our relationships, He must be at the center. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You for the word that You gave me this morning, for the time that we have gathered. Help us to have heard this message this morning and let it touch our hearts and just lead us in a way of love that maybe we haven't experienced before. Help us to just project Your love as we go out this week, and maybe in situations where we don't feel like we've been very loving, help us to just rectify those situations. We're thankful for the love that You poured out to us, even when we didn't deserve it. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.